Welcome to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural with the Natural Healing Show.
Hello, you are listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one bestselling author. You can find out more about me and my work at CatherineKerrigan.com and UnlimitedEnergyNow.com. While you're there, definitely sign up for my newsletter so you can learn even more about how you can heal yourself naturally. Now, I've got a very special guest for you today. Our guest today is Ismail Kala. Ismail Kala is the author of a new book. This is actually his 11th book. It's called The Art of Listening to Yourself, How to Tune Into Your Intuitive Voice. Now, you may know Ismail Kala because he was the host from 2010 to 2016 of Kala on CNN in Spanish. And it was the network's most watched interview program from 2010 to 2016. And his mentor, if you're speaking English, was Larry King. So it was the same format as Larry King. You can find out more about Ismail Kala and his wonderful work at his website, ismailkala.com. Welcome, Ismail Kala.
Wow, Catherine, I am so happy to be with you. And actually, you know, as a professional interviewer, this is wonderful because I'm already booking you for my podcast to interview you because I'm so intrigued about everything that you can teach me and teach my community. So I'm here and thank you. Thank you for your interest about the art of listening to yourself, my first book published in English, because yes, all the other books are in Spanish, but this one is the first one in English.
Very, very cool. Now, for our audience, we've got a really special treat for you because we are basically going to be talking with you about intuition. Now, one of my 10 books is called Unlimited Intuition Now. And that book is about all the different ways that you can receive messages from your soul. But let's listen to Ismail Kala. So Ismail Kala, your book is called The Art of Listening to Yourself, How to Tune Into Your Intuitive Voice. So from your perspective, what does true healing mean beyond the physical body? And how can people begin to understand health as a relationship between mind, body, emotions, and spirit?
Well, I have to say that I never had the vocational interest to become like a life strategist or a life mentor or a healer. You know, I got to be this person now, like accompanying another human beings, you know, other human beings in the process of consciousness and evolution, because I realized when I was around 15 that I needed help, and I didn't get the help I deserved. My mom finally, when I was 15 years old, and I had a bullying episode, and I said something like, I'm going to jump, you know, from this fifth floor if my mom doesn't get me out of this school, because they made fun of me. And so my mom realized that she needed to ask professional help for me. And she brought me to a psychologist, and the psychologist said, okay, let's see the family history. And my family history had my grandfather committing suicide when I was less than 5 years old. And then my aunt, my father's sister, committed suicide when I was 13. And I really suffered that suicide because I was very close to her. And then my father, who was a brilliant chemical engineer in Cuba, schizophrenia took his sanity. And then, you know, like he was isolated in a room. I didn't have the father that I wanted to have because he couldn't talk to me and hug me. So when I was 15, my mom brought me to the psychologist, and the psychologist brought me as a referral to a psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist medicated me, being 15. And then I noticed that, my mind was not working positively and, like optimistically. And I had to say, okay, what's wrong inside my head? How can I really find the solutions? And the solutions were coming like little by little, understanding that medication was limited as an experience to relieve my pain and to go to the roots of how I was feeling. And then I started, like looking for answers and finding voices inside of myself that didn't represent me. That's why I said to people, we are not our mind. We have a mind. I was sick. I was lost. I was suffering because I made my identity my thoughts. And my thoughts are not my identity. And a lot of people are suffering, Catherine, because they are actually using shortcuts, pills, drugs to kind of create the illusion of healing, but they are not going to the root causes of how you're feeling this way or that way. So it took me a lot of years. I was medicated from 15 to 19. And then I said, you know what? I'm not feeling any improvement. This pill is not answering my unanswered questions about my identity, my feelings, emotions. So little by little, I was getting hints about, okay, you have to create a better relation with your thoughts. What is in your mind? Probably it's not your essence, it's just ideas. Do not believe every single idea that crosses the screen of your mind. And that was a training that actually I did to myself at the beginning without mentors. And then I got the books, and then I got the mentors, and then I got the trainings. And that's why now, I accompany people to understand the relationship that they have with their minds and emotions and intuition as a silent, subtle language with the source, the connection with the loving energy that has created everything in this conscious universe. And we are not victims. We are protagonists. We are leaders. We are conscious observers that we have the look, the energy, the presence to change the phenomenon that we are observing. So it's a very interesting process. And I wanted people to know that healing is possible from the inside, like having the attention and the energy into our inner world, not the outer world.
So very powerful story, Ismail Kala. And it's so hard to be a teenager and go through all that bullying, and then to recognize the family history of suicide and what your father went through and the suffering your father had. So you are a perfect guest here at the Natural Healing Show. And two of my 10 books are about how to heal depression naturally without drugs. So I really appreciate what you went through. And so many people, they turn to medication first, and then, like you, they're like, okay, there's a bigger picture here. Now, Ismail Kala, what natural daily practices do you believe can regulate our nervous system and bring people back to a place of peace?
Wow, mindfulness. Mindfulness, it's a broad concept for different techniques of meditation, self-reflection, the practice of silence, deliberate silence, nature bathing, because I love nature. Since 2020, during the pandemic, I moved to the countryside. And I started to grow a garden. Catherine, my life has a before and after. The connection with that garden is so healing, so therapeutic. It's amazing. I actually watched a documentary on Netflix, and I'm recommending this because it's an interesting life, Martha Stewart. And she has a documentary, on Netflix, and she said something that I said, oh my God, I came here to know more about Martha story, but I now love her. I love her because of what she said. She said, it's with a little bit of sarcasm, but it works. She said, if you want to be happy for a year, get married. If you want to be happy for a decade, get a dog. If you want to be happy for your entire life, grow a garden. And then I said, oh, I'm having an orgasm, spiritual orgasm, because that's the connection that I feel with my garden. It's grounding me. It's reminding me the cycles of life, you know, the impermanent essence of nature. You see a flower that has blossomed, but you see a flower that just fell to the ground. And that's it. You know, you see the fruits. You see in winter that the garden is kind of dead, but it's not dead. It's just waiting for the new season. So the garden is a perfect master for people to work emotions, attachments. And actually, it's actually proven by science that if you walk naked, you know, with your feet on the ground, you are calibrating your energy. You are connecting to the frequency of love that is coming from the Pachamama, as we say it in Latin America, the Pachamama, the Mother Earth. So, you know, like meditations, silence, music, dancing, and also humor. Humor. Because, you know, like my story has been like bathed in so much pain that I had to put humor in every single part of my Old Testament. I call the Old Testament my previous history. You know, when I wasn't awakened and I couldn't really like understand better what was happening to me. That's my Old Testament. So I had to rewrite the Old Testament into my New Testament with a lot of humor. Because as Charles Chaplin said, you know, a day with a smile without smile is a lost day. It's a lost day. So I love that question because there is a protocol to live connected to perfect health. Perfect health. And it's the connection to nature, inner world, silence, God, which is kind of a name which is very complex because a lot of people have different concepts about God, but for me, it's an energy, it's an entity. Is a vibration.
So, Ismail Kala, I think you must be my soul brother
Yes,
because
I love it.
I have a huge garden. I have a huge garden and my healing room is full of orchids. So if you walked into my healing room, it's literally full of orchids, and then it looks out onto my garden, which is all organic, of course. And
Wow.
there's a I, right before this morning I was out watering. And you know, a lot of people think of garden as this is a chore, you know, like doing the dishes or laundry. But there's a lot of research, just even out being out and watering things is incredibly therapeutic.
Yes, it is.
And as you said, I loved what you're talking about observing nature, because when you sometimes I'll tell this story. When I'm in my healing room working and I look out through the orchids, out into a beautiful fountain, into the azaleas, into the woods, okay? Because I live and work in Atlanta, but my house faces literally acres of trees. I'm so blessed. And sometimes I look out and I think, oh my goodness, this is the most beautiful time. And then a week later, everything will change. And it's like,
Exactly.
you know, so the azaleas bloom, and then in the fall, the leaves turn, and it helps you to become more at peace with the changes that we experience in ourselves, in our life, and in the world at large. You know, it's safe. You're safe. It's only change. Now, Ismail Kala, let's talk about your book, The Art of Listening to Yourself, How to Tune Into Your Intuitive Voice. And this is your first book that you've published in English. Can you share for our audience why did you write that book?
Well, actually, my first book in Spanish in 2011, and it took me 2 years to write it, was called The Power of Listening. The Power of Listening. And then, you know, that book was so cathartic, was so liberating. Like, It was an smile before and after the book, because the book changed me. I mean, I thought that I had, like the table of contents and everything pre kind of meditated for the book. But then when I started writing, wow, the writing process was like a vomit. Like I had to really like get, like cleaner about so many limiting beliefs that I had and stories and fake news. And it was amazing. And that book was so powerful. It was a bestseller in so many countries in Latin America that then 10 years passed, I wrote several other books and I said, I have to revisit this topic because the author, Ismael Cala in 2011, published in 2013, is not the person that I am right now. For that book, I talked about listening as the opportunity to know ourselves better and to create better relationships with other people surrounding us. But now this book, it's also going to a deeper level of listening. It's listening not only through our ears to what other people are saying, or the sounds of nature, or music. No, that's kind of a superficial exercise of listening. There is a deeper exercise of listening that it's without sounds. It's learning to listen to the body. I said to people, I have secondary doctors, but I am my primary doctor. I am my family doctor. Nobody can spend more time with me than myself. Nobody can have the possibility of listening to the first signals of discomfort than me, because I'm living with me. This is my vehicle. The body is what we have here for this spiritual experience in a three-dimensional world. So this book is really like a deeper study of the many manifestations of listening that the human beings could really master to have a peaceful, healthy life, an abundant life. We have to listen to be abundant. We have to listen to be healthy. We have to listen to even create wealth, because wealth doesn't start in the bank account. Money doesn't start producing in the back account. It gets there, but it's about who we are. What are the voices that we have in our mind regarding our self-value, our relationship with money, and how worthy I am of something or not? So everything, Catherine, when I realized about this, I said, oh my God, what I can hold in my head, I will be able to hold it in my hands. So everything is about being a private investigator of our inner dialogue and how we see ourselves from the spells that we received when we were little, and probably we kept them until this version of who we are. So it's a fascinating process.
And with that, let's take a break and listen to a message from one of our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one best-selling author. We're listening to the fascinating Ismael Kala, the author of the new book, The Art of Listening to Yourself: How to Tune Into Your Inner Voice. We'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
their messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Ismail Kala, so your book is called The Art of Listening to Yourself, How to Tune into Your Intuitive Voice. Now, in my book, Unlimited Intuition Now, what I talk about is the four different ways that you can receive information from your soul. So when we're talking about listening to our inner voice, that is literally something called clairaudience, which is, again, receiving information in sounds and vibration and words and language. And again, it's interior. And one of the things about the clairaudient gift is that it's very easy for us to confuse what are the messages from our soul versus what are my thoughts or what do I hear other people say. And the other three intuitive gifts I need to mention: clairsentience, which is psychic feeling, that's picking up the vibes. There's a great saying, energy doesn't lie, read the vibes. And then there's clairvoyance, which is the art of seeing angels, seeing the auras and that sort of thing. And then there's claircognizance, which is my gift, which is just very fast knowing, where you receive information that, with no prior evidence. So how did you realize that you are obviously clairaudient? So that's naturally your gift. It's why you're such a great interviewer. So how did you get comfortable with your own intuitive voice?
Wow. Well, that's really interesting, because at the beginning, I was reluctant to honor that gift. I questioned the nature of supposedly crazy thoughts that I was receiving. And then I was censoring myself to kind of express that kind of information. Until one day that I said, you know what? I'm not going to censor what I'm receiving about this person. I'm going to tell that person to see what happens. And then it was surprise, Catherine, but things that I got out of nowhere. And I was saying, okay, allow yourself to say it. Allow yourselves to say it. And then people said, how do you know that? And I said, I don't know it. I don't know that. I just received that thought or idea. And this time, the only thing that I did is I was open to share it with you. I didn't keep it for me. And then I said, oh my God, Ismail, you have to really believe this is happening to you. There is a channel that is open. And I actually think, Catherine, this is my theory. I actually think that many people are suffering from, for instance, schizophrenia. Mm-hmm. But that's a channel open, without that person knowing how to handle the information they are receiving.
I agree.
You agree with me?
Absolutely, for sure.
This is what I think. Exactly, this is what I think. When I was 15, I was trying to be so rational as the education that I received, that I was kind of making myself going crazy with the information that my brain was receiving, but I didn't want to accept it, because I wanted to be normal. I wanted to be pragmatic. I wanted to be materialistic. I wanted not to believe that the spirit has information. Now we know that the quantum field is not empty, because there are no waves traveling empty. The waves are carrying information, and we know that. But when I was a teenager and a kid, nobody in my environment was able to tell me, feel safe having this experience that you don't know how to explain it. And now I understand why I understand now this, because God or the quantum field or the divinity is waking me up every single night around 3 or 4 in the morning to give me information. And before I was kind of stressed because I said, I want to sleep my 7 hours, you know, like, but now I say, no, this is a gift. Learn how to use that information. Now I don't even like go out of bed to write it. No, I said, please record it, record it. I'm here recording. Give me the information. I'm going to stay, you know, probably in an alpha state of waves in the brain. I'm going to record it, but I don't want to go out of the bed. And it's amazing because when I wake up finally at 7 or 6 a.m., I have information that I said, oh my God, this is a new idea. This is a creation. This is something that I have to talk to somebody. Amazing, amazing, because I stopped resisting the gift. A lot of people, they don't know how to use the gift. My hallucination is that every human being comes to this world with those capacities, with that potential.
100%.
100%, a medium, to be a medium, to be a clairvoyant, to be a divine, you know, antenna. Yeah. But we are so afraid of the unknown, of the things that we cannot name because we haven't seen them before.
Yes.
And it's amazing, amazing, amazing. For me, it's a blessing. And I now understand that probably my family, my ancestors suffered not for something that was totally negative. Probably they were blessed with something that now I'm applying, I'm amplifying in my life, but they didn't know how to do with that open channel
yes.
of information.
And Ismail Kala, as I mentioned, I'm a medical intuitive healer. And so, and again, this is my view, not that I'm right, not that I know anything. You are a soul, you have a body, everyone's having a human experience. Your soul is always trying to communicate with you. So, and I always say, you either listen or, you know, you can get tapped lightly on the shoulder or, you know, life has to really knock you on the head. So what I do, like you, when I wake up, I usually wake up 4:30, 5 in the morning. I pray, I meditate, and then I listen to my angels. And then like you, sometimes I write down what I'm receiving, you know, because you're a good way to think about it is your angels are your spiritual guides. They're here. They're like your team. They're here to help you to achieve your life purpose. And going back to clairaudience, I find as a medical intuitive healer, when people have that gift, they're great, like you, at interviewing. They're the authors. They're the songwriters. I have a client who's high in clairaudience, and his job, he's a sound engineer. So he, when there's movies and TV shows, he edits the sound for the movies and the TV shows. They're amazing public speakers. Lots of people are nervous about public speaking, but when you're high in clairaudience, you set your intention, you know, to speak from your soul, and then just whatever needs to come out comes out. So I love that you are honoring your gift. Now, Ismail Kala, how can becoming more conscious of our thoughts, emotions, and inner dialogue support the natural healing processes of the body?
Well, I believe that a thought with an elevated emotion has more healing power than any drug. I don't have a war against drugs. I think they are punctually necessary, like, you know, for a moment and for alleviation of a pain or, you know, but I really believe in the healing power and the inner pharmacy that we already have with us. And I really feel that, you know, for a lot of years, I was relying on something external to heal me. But now I understand that my healing is my responsibility. It's a practice. It's a daily practice of talking, vibrating with the frequency of perfect health with the different parts of my body. And, you know, I'm not an extraterrestrial being. I'm a human being. So if it works for me, it works for some other people that believe that that is possible. Obviously, we have the placebo effect or the belief effect. It means that if a person is rigidly thinking, my only solution is to take this pill, well, that's what he believes or she believes. And that will be conditioning the reality. But if a person believes that through thought processing, I can change how I feel, the vibration of that experience that I call illness, then I will be able to restore the original program of health. Taking my attention away from what I feel now and bringing my attention centered, disciplined to what I was at the beginning, before the illness started and the symptoms started showing up. So it's a practice. I do a lot of visualization, meditation in silence. I talk every day to every single part of my body. I visualize light, light, you know, stardust coming in a powerful rain of very, very, very little microscopic drops of liquid light coming from the stars. Because actually we are made of stardust. You know, we are just energy. And Catherine, for me, is amazing. I can tell this to people. I don't go to hospitals. I'm pretty healthy. I keep my life like moving from a country to the next country. You know, like I rest only what is needed for my body because my spirit could kill my body. I have like a powerful spirit that if I'm not aware of what my body needs, my spirit could kill my body because it's so much passion to be alive and to do things. But I understand that my body, a matter, the particles of my body need regeneration, they need rest. And I do it. So, you know, I don't get sick. And before I was 30, I got like kidney stones. I got depression. I got infections here on my throat because my communication chakra was totally blocked and I couldn't express myself. I even had, when I was 13, I needed to have surgery because I had a vein like surrounding like an anaconda, a testicle. And I understand now why, because that teenager was suffering from a sexual identity that everybody said, probably there is something wrong with you. And I didn't know who I could talk to and get answers. So if I really understand every single illness or symptom that I have experienced in my lifetime, there is an explanation of a process that I could not solve at a higher level. So, and of course, my body had to scream.
Ismail Kala, so I'm going to add in a couple of insights for our audience. So one of the things that we know is that thoughts are things. So if you are using negative self-talk all day, then you're literally creating your own neurotransmitters, right? So for example, Ismail Kala talked about being a teenager and then getting off the drugs, right? When he changed his self-talk. So when we learn how to speak to ourselves and listen to ourselves in a compassionate, supportive way, and you have this healthy relationship with your true authentic self, then you're creating a totally different brain chemistry. And I love the way you're talking because this is very much in line with my work as a medical intuitive healer. And in my view, there's five levels of healing: the physical body, the energy body, emotions, mind, and soul. Your soul is having a human experience. Your soul controls your mind, and your mind, those thoughts and beliefs, control your emotions. Your emotions control your energy. So if you just think about when you're in a joyful, excited state, you have a lot more energy, right? And then your energy body controls your physical body. Now, Ismail Kala, as you know, many people carry emotional wounds that affect their well-being. How can forgiveness, compassion, and emotional release become part of a natural healing journey?
Wow, that's amazing because many people, Catherine, do not suffer only because of what happened to them, but because they never learned how to listen to what those experiences created inside them. Pain becomes heavier when it is silenced. Emotions become louder when they are ignored. So the body begins to speak when the soul has been neglected. For that reason, listening to oneself becomes a path of healing, not as a passive act of resignation. No, it's a conscious discipline. And forgiveness is an art and it has a science because a lot of people say, wow, no, I don't want to forget this and I'm not going to forgive this. That's an ego commandment. And the ego is separation. And the separation creates illness. Because we are supposed to be a whole, an identity that it has parts on the physical body, like different organs, vital organs, but we are connected. We are the same. Even the brain, now we know that the brain is more than the cerebral brain. And we have, like the brain of the heart and the brain of our intestines. So it's just connected. Everything is connected. So forgiveness is an exercise of freedom. It's like, okay, I'm not going to change what happened. I'm not going to say that I'm condoning what happened to me, but I'm going to free myself from the pain, from the poison that I have inside, not being able to, allow myself to see me above what happened, above the pain. So
So
it's an exercise.
Ismail Kala, you and I could have a whole talk just about forgiveness. Because whenever I have a new client as a medical intuitive healer, the very first thing that I do is a forgiveness mantra. Because lack of forgiveness, when you don't forgive, that literally blocks your healing. And if everybody understood that, they would be going around forgiving everybody, right? Because there's always a divine purpose. Now,
Have
if
you heard, Catherine, about Ho'oponopono?
of course.
Yes, Ho'oponopono is forgiveness.
I
And
was,
it's for me
yes.
it's amazing, amazing. I do it every single day.
Yes, I was just doing Ho'oponopono earlier this morning with one of my clients. So first thing I do was as a medical intuitive forgiveness mantra. Now, Ismail Kala, you've interviewed many of the world's top leaders in your program as Kala on CNN in Spanish. What have you learned from listening about the connection between purpose, service, and long-term well-being?
Well, purpose is a life guarantee of healthy longevity. I mean, when we don't have a purpose, a soul purpose, to express the potential as a human evolutionary being, life can become a burden. Life can become a struggle. But when a person understands that we are not here to have a job, because like formal schooling or formal education, Jim Rohn said this, and I love this quote. He said, "Formal education will make you a living, and self-education—what we do, what you teach, what now as a mentor I teach." Teach people, I changed my life not because my formal education, wanting to be a professional in one area. No. What changed my life is self-mastery, self-education, understanding who I am, beyond the titles, beyond the reductionist exercise of having definitions, because every definition is a limitation. Every definition of a human being is a limitation. And we as a society want, you know, like we force people to define themselves so rigidly. And then I said, I have no definition. I have a name, of course, because with no name, how can you call me? And how can I call you, Catherine? But we are beyond our names and our last names and titles. We are an experience. We are a purpose in manifestation. And the purpose, actually, a lot of people, they think the purpose is to do something for somebody else. And I say, well, you have to start with you. Your first purpose in life is self-knowledge. Know yourself. Know yourself, because if you know yourself, you are going to be able to love yourself in a healthy way. Know yourself, because if you know yourself and you are loving and you are kind and you have less fears, you know, you will be able to really dedicate your life to improve others' life and bring value to other people. Know yourself, because when you know yourself, you get to self-realization. And just after self-realization, a person could go to transcendence. Transcendence. How can I transcend in others? How can I plant seeds in other people? That's immortality, you know? That's immortality. Actually, the body has like an expiration date. But the soul, if you just planted seeds of transformation and value in other people, the soul is infinite. It's eternal.
It's very, very profound. Now, Ismail Kala, you've written an entire book about the art of listening to yourself. If there is one thing that you really want people to understand about the art of listening to yourself, what would it be?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
The station that makes you feel good.
Wow, that we have to talk less and listen more. Because Larry King told me this in one of our mentoring sessions at his mansion in Beverly Hills. He said, Ismael, listen to me. I never learned anything while I was the one talking. Yes. And I said, oh my God, Larry, this is so powerful. Because he was mentoring me to be a great interviewer. And he said, you know, some people don't get the other person the opportunity to shine. And you have to be ready to be so humble, to just ask questions and let the other people shine, you know, let the other person shine. So, and he said, and if you want to learn and use that opportunity of interviewing so many people, listen, listen, we have 2 ears and one mouth. So we should use more, twice the time, the ears to listen, that the mouth to speak. And I started with him being a better interviewer and a better person, because actually when I was growing up in Cuba and I started as a radio broadcaster, you know what they said? They said, silence is a dead time. Do not make pauses, Ismael. Do not make pauses. Silence is not good on radio. And that was totally fake. It's not real. Silence is powerful. Silence conveys meaning, sometimes more than words.
Very powerful. And I love that you talk about listening. But your book and interviewing people, so how do we go about, what are some good ways to start listening to ourselves?
I think because we were trained to be rational, the first exercise is to question the logical conclusions that we get through our thought processing. Because sometimes we lie. Our thoughts are lies, fake news, and we don't question those fake news. So, you know, I always ask, is this thought a truth or just an interpretation, a subjective interpretation of my experience in life? And I started questioning the nature of my thoughts, because sometimes, you know, I said, oh my God. For instance, for years, I felt kind of sad and I was feeling, pity. I was feeling pity for my father because he had only one arm and he lost his left arm when he was just 8 years old in a terrible accident. It was very painful and he lost his arm. But then I was saying to myself, you know, like that thought, oh my God, poor dad. No, one day writing the first book, The Power of Listening, God talked to me and said, hey, I took an arm of your father because I wanted to give you life. And I said, what? What is this? And God said, yes, I took one arm of your father because I wanted to give you the gift of life. And then I said, oh my God, I have to ask my mom. I overheard sometime that somebody told me that my father wanted to commit suicide when he was in the former Soviet Union. And I said, mom, tell me this. It's true that my father wanted to take his own life when he was studying at the Soviet Union. And my mom said, yes, nobody wanted to talk about it. They sent him back to Cuba. And actually, Ismael, his classmates kind of opened the door. He was trying to hang himself. But imagine how difficult it was for him, only with one arm to hang himself. And then I said, oh my God, I've been feeling pity, sadness about my father having one arm when it was a blessing. God didn't want him to succeed as his father and his sister committing suicide because they both had their two arms and hands. So this is a perfect example how our thoughts lie to us. And we believe them. We don't question them. So the first exercise is question your thoughts.
You've been listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. Our very powerful and inspiring guest has been Ismael Kala, the author of his new book, the first book available in English. So All of us English readers can read The Art of Listening to Yourself, How to Tune Into Your Intuitive Voice. You can find out more about Ismail Kala and his wonderful work at his website, ismailkala.com. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one bestselling author. You can find out more about me at catherinekerrigan.com and unlimitedenergynow.com. And remember, when you listen to your intuitive voice, you listen to the best healer you've ever met. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural. Be the Natural Healing Show.